Father, we go to our faces with the pilgrim prayer. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy on Alexander. Have mercy on Ernie and Lois, Wayne and Margaret. Have mercy upon all who ache and feel numb and prayerless. And have mercy upon me for these next 8 or 10 minutes to speak a word on behalf of Jesus Christ and Rachel. In his name I pray, amen. I have taken my cue from this page right here. I am Christ in a vase, which is to say I am Christ covered in Christ's blood. So when God looks at me, he sees Christ, not me. I am not righteous. He is righteous. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, nor am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. The main point of that passage is clear, and it's this. Jesus Christ, or more particularly, knowing and gaining Christ, is more valuable than any relationship in the world or the universe. That's very clear in this passage. Counted loss everything for the sake of Christ. Loss for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. Everything is rubbish in order that I might gain Christ. A 3.5-month marriage based upon this truth and displaying this truth will have more eternal significance than 10,000 50-year marriages that marginalize Christ. The main point is very clear. Knowing, gaining Christ is more precious than any other relationship. There are 4 reasons given for this. Number one, gaining Christ is more valuable than any relationship because it is hopeless to think that we will ever in ourselves be acceptable to God through law-keeping. Verse 8, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. Paul knows, and you know, believer or unbeliever in this room, in your heart of hearts, you know that when you have to give an account to God, law keeping will not suffice. You know that. Deep down, we are all frightened that we have not been good enough because we have not been good enough. If Rachel on Saturday afternoon had to meet God with the record of her law keeping, she would have perished. And what will your claim be this afternoon when the truck hits you? What will your claim be? So the first reason is there is no hope that our law-keeping will commend us to God. Reason number two, it is more precious to know Christ Jesus and gain Him than anything else, because gaining Him means being safely in Him. Verse 8 again, for His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I might gain Christ and be found in Him. To be a Christian is to be in Christ, to take on Christ as our new identity, to love for people to see Christ as our garment, Christ as our life. We are, by faith, in and safe in Christ. Therefore, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor Ford 150 pickup trucks can separate us from the love of God. Where? In Christ Jesus our Lord. The first is that we have no hope to be commended to God by our law-keeping, and two, by faith, we are in Christ. When Rachel, Saturday afternoon, met God, she met Him in Christ. That's number two. Number three, why does that make a difference? It makes a difference because when you are in Christ, the righteousness of God in Christ is yours. You don't have your own. Verse 9, that I may be found in Him, not having a righteousness. She knew this. I'm trying to preach her sermon to her friends. That I may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of her own that comes from the law, which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends upon faith. When she died and stood before God on Saturday afternoon and gave an account of her right to enter heaven, what did she say? What would you say this afternoon before the all-holy, perfect, just, flaming God of righteousness? What would you say? What would you give as an account or a title or a warrant to enter glory forever? And I'll tell you what she said, because I've heard it or I've read it. She said, Father, I have no right in myself to enter heaven. Your Son, Jesus Christ, alone has a right to enter heaven. He performed all righteousness. And according to your promise, I have renounced all self-reliance and all self-righteousness, and I have looked to Christ, your Son, for my righteousness. That is my only title to heaven. To which God responded, enter into the joy of your master, for I always honor my son's righteousness. Fourth and lastly, it gets better than heaven. Verse 11, that by any means possible I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. This body will be raised from the dead, and with all of the fullness of her being, body, soul, and spirit, and with all those here who know what I mean and believe what she believed, She will make merry and make much of Jesus on the new earth forever with ever-increasing happiness. It gets better than heaven. The final goal is not a bodiless Rachel in the presence of the Lord, as glorious as that is. The final goal is she and we together with new bodies on a new earth, more happy than she ever was or could be here. I close with a word of encouragement to the family and to all here who ache, as you should. Lay hold on this hope. Lay hold on this, that you can have a righteousness that is not your own, that you can have a Christ who is so precious, beautiful, just, wise, good, loving, that he will satisfy every want you have ever known. Lay hold on the hope of the resurrection. But I say, lay hold on it not because it is uncertain, but because Christ has made it so certain. Verse 12, I press on to make it my own because Christ has made me his own. That's a definition of grace. First, he makes us his own. Then we make him our own. And we go on laying hold of Christ because Christ has taken us and made us his own. This is grace. This is amazing grace. And on behalf of Rachel and Christ, I plead with you, receive it as we sing it.